Begin the current daf in Sechtes Kedushin, daf Yud Ches, begin 10 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous dafim, discussing the halachas of Eved Ivri, which was the second Mishnah in our Perek, in our Masechta, discussing the acquisition of a Jewish slave. So the Gemara begins, Tanya Rabban Melun Nabraisa. Yesh be'ivri she'ein be'ivriya. There are certain halachas that apply to a Jewish slave, which do not apply to a Jewish female slave. Yesh be'ivriya she'ein be'ivri. And there are certain halachas that apply to a Jewish female slave, which do not apply to a Jewish male slave, as the Brice explains. Yesh be'ivri would apply to the Jewish slave, which these are differences in regards to how they leave, reacquire themselves. Shoyetzu b'shanim, he leaves after 6 years. U'b'yevo when he reaches the yevo year, or over misas adam with the death of his master. Masha enkim be'avriya, which is not the case by a Jewish female maidservant, which Gemara later on is going to ask. Similarly, from our Mishnah, we said that the Amavriya has the same halachas regarding, if anything, more. But that's what the Braisa says. And V'yesh Bevriya, and there are ways that Amavriya leaves, which do not apply to the Eved Ivri, Shahari Ivriya Yitzah B'Simanim, because she leaves when she has Simani Nairis, which is only unique to Amavriya. And V'Einanim Keres V'Nishnis, she cannot be sold and be sold again a different time, which later on we'll bring the source for that. And we could have her redeemed from her master, even against his will, which later on the Gemara is going to explain what does that mean. Masha'in kim b'ivri, which do not apply by an ivri, by a male servant. He doesn't have these three attributes of leaving through simanim, and of not being sold again, and of being redeemed against against someone else's will. So the Gemara explains this b'raisa amamar. The Tana of the b'raisa said, Yesh be'ivri she'im be'ivriya. There are certain halachas that apply to an Eved Ivri that do not apply to Amivriya, which are the three ways that the Ivri leaves. On that, the Gemara says, V'ramini, but that's contradicted from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, after it spoke about the three ways that Eved Ivri leaves, it said, Yisero lav Amivriya, and more than this is increased by the Amivriya, by the Jewish maidservant, Shekayna Atma Simanim, which she acquires herself even with Simani Nairis. But we see from our Mishnah that she has the ways of the Eved Ivri, but even more. So why does the Braisa say that what's by the Ivri is not applicable by the Ivriya? So Amar Sheshi explains that the Braisa is talking about Kegoyin She'yada. It's talking about when if her master of the maidservant went and married her, had Kedushin with that monies which were given for the purpose of acquiring her as a maidservant, then what the Tana of the Braisa is, now she cannot leave from that marriage of Yid, which was transferred from the Kesef of the kinyan of the Amavriya, through Sheish or Yovel or the death of the Adon. It's only with a get. That's the only way that she can leave. Now that the Gemara asks, Yada Pshita Gita Boy. Well, I mean, that's pretty obvious. You're saying that the ways that an Eved Ivri leave do not apply to the Amavriya when she gets engaged to her Adon now? Of course, you need a get. It's like a regular marriage. Why do you need to tell us that now she can't leave anymore with Sheish, Yovel, and Mrs. Adon? So the Gemara Ma'adat Tema, I would have thought to say Levat Lehilchas Amina, that actually she doesn't lose the halachas of Amavriya even if he already did yid with her and got engaged to her and got married to her. If she wants to leave with one of these three ways without a get, I would say that she could leave. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush of the Braisa, that these ways do not apply anymore by the Amavriya once there is already yid. Now that the question is, well, Ihachi, if that's the case that you're describing and contrasting the Eved Ivri to the Amavriya, which is after she already had yud, so that my Yitzhi B'Saman, then why do you say that, oh, what's applicable by the Avriya, which does not apply by the Ivri, which is obviously the same case that you're discussing in the first half, is that she leaves with Simanim and he doesn't, but once she gets married, she's not leaving once she reaches age 12 and has two Simani Cyrus. So why are you saying that she leaves with Simanim? That Rav Sheish explains the Hachikama. What the Braisa was saying was, Im lo ya'ada, it was saying, but if there is no Yud, then Yitzhi Av B'Samanim, then you do have something more by the Ivri, which does not apply by the Ivri, which again, as we said in the Mishnah, she leaves with Samanim, which does not apply by the Eved Ivri. But again, the ratio is talking about when there is Yud, and the Sefer then was told, but if there is no Yud, then she leaves even with more ways than the Eved Ivri. So we said over there in the Braisa that another thing that the Ivri has over the Ivri is Ve'enanim Keres V'Nishnas. She cannot be sold as Amavriya and then resold again another time as a minor by her father to be an Amavriya. Now, the Gemara asks, Machlal, the inference is, the Eved Ivri Nimkabid Nishnas. So you're saying that that's only applicable by the Amavriya, but it sounds like by the Jewish male servant, that he could be sold and resold again. But Vatani, learn the Braisa, and this obviously is related to someone that's forcefully being sold, which generally is in the case of Machru Bezdin, because when he sells himself, there's no limitation regarding himself selling. It sounds like that, like by the Omer Ri, where someone else, specifically her father, sells her, same thing would apply by the Eved Ivri. Sounds like that he could be resold, in contrast to the Omer Vriya. But the time to learn the Brice, it says in the Pasuk that he sold Bignei Vasai. Meaning if he stole money, he doesn't have what to pay up. So the courts, that's the case of Mechur Bez, and the courts sell him. So the drush of the Brice says is they sell him for his theft, but v'loy b'kfeiloy, but not for the double penalty which has to be paid, what's called kefil. In other words, if let's say someone stole something, which if they find him with the theft, he has to actually pay double. If he has enough money to pay up the principal that he stole, but he doesn't have enough money to pay up the kefil, there the Brice is saying that we learn up that we don't sell him for the kefil. Moreover, when it says that they sell him b'gnei vasei for his theft, it's v'loy b'zamamai. But not if, let's say, he had said testimony regarding a certain person that he said, we testify this guy stole from that other guy. And it turns out that he was huzam, which means he was Edom Zayman, he made up the whole thing. And he was found out to be somewhere else at the time where he claims to have seen that guy steal. So then actually, generally, he gets the penalty that he tried making the other person. And that was saying, although he has requirements as the other person, which was that amount of theft, but if he doesn't have what to pay up because of the hazama, he doesn't get sold. Although he has to pay up, which he was trying to create a liability for that guy, but when if he doesn't have that money, then he defaults on that payment, we don't sell him because only for his own theft, not as false testimony on someone else's theft, where although he has to pay that amount, we don't sell him for that. And moreover, b'gnei vasu, when it says we sell him for his theft, is kivin shenimker pam achas, says for his theft, in the singular, once he sold one time, shuviat rishoy lamacher, you can't sell him again. Now, the assumption of the Gemara is that because when it says if a nimka b'gnei vasa, he sold for his theft, sounds like that is a one-time thing he sold for his theft, and not he's not sold many times. It's a one-time thing. B'nimka. So you see from this brisa that even the Eved Ivri is not sold more than once. So why are you saying it's something that only applies to Amar Vriya? So Amar Ravi explains loy kasha, it's not a difficulty. Kan b'gneva achas. Here we're talking about that he stole one time. Where there, if he's not worth the amount of them that he stole, let's say he's only worth for 6 years of work, which is the limit that Besnik could sell someone for, it's only going to pay up half the amount that he stole. When he comes out, to if you'd want to sell him a second time, that's what the Brice here is saying, no. Minimka b'gnevasa is only one time. So let's say he stole $1,000 and his work as a slave for 6 years would only be $500. You can't resell him again to then pay up the second half. But Khan, regarding this that we taught in the first Brice, which says that only the Amar Vriya cannot be sold and resold, which the inference was that the Eved Ivri could be sold and resold, that's b'shtei genevos. That's by two different thefts. In other words, even if, let's say, he didn't get a chance to be brought to court for both thefts, and he's not worth the value of only one, so then he sold and he's resold again because he's only worth the value of one theft, but he stole two times. So that's what we're learning up in the first brisa, that since it's for different thefts, so then that would qualify for each one, v'nimka b'gnei vasei. Now for the other theft, would also be v'nimka b'gnei vasei. So then it's true, he could be sold and resold again. The second brisa that we asked from was saying that he could only be sold once, is talking about for one theft. Well, one theft, then he cannot be resold again. Now, Amle Abaye, but Abaye asked on Rava, the word selling him for his theft could mean actually a lot, not just one. In other words, Abai is asking specifically in the way Rav had answered the Gemara's question. Because what Abai wants to say is if, let's say, he has what's called one hamada b'din, he comes to court for both thefts at one time, Abai is bothered with Rav's answers, and he says that actually that could qualify to be considered v'nimka b'gnei vasai. As Rashi brings different sources in Tanakh, that we find plurality written in singular. It says ubehema rabba, which although it's many, it says in the singular behema. So to vahadoga ashabiyar, it says in the singular, but it means the many fish. So therefore, Abaye says, even in the case of shtei genevos, should be considered like geneva achas, if it was at one time coming to court. So rather, Elam Amabaye, he qualifies a little bit different. It says, loy kasha, the way to answer the question is, Khan, the second Brice is talking about where he stole Ba'odim Echad, where he stole from one person. And therefore, Abai is actually saying that if there was one court case at one time, even if it's for two different thefts, he cannot be sold and then resold again, even for many thefts. Because that's similar to like one theft, where again, because the Torah said it in the singular, but which can include many times. Khan Mishnei B'nei Adam, regarding The first brisa was talking about where it was with two different people. With two different people bringing him to court, he says, he stole from me, and he says, he stole from me. Then he sold for each individual theft. And the same halacha would apply if, let's say, he stole, and there was a court case, and he sold, and then later he stole again after he was free, then, of course, everyone would agree that he'd be resold again, which is even more, which they're just trying to qualify the smallest criteria of the chiddush, where the Eved Ivri is sold and resold again. It's only a question regarding if it's regarding one theft versus two thefts, or one person versus two people, which that's Machlokes Abaye and Rava, how to qualify, where Abaye says that even if it's two different thefts, if it's one person, it would be still qualified as one theft, and then you wouldn't be able to resell them again. It has to be at least two different people, where then we consider as two different thefts, and it can be sold and resold again. Again, unique to Eved Ivri, but Amar Ria, who she's not sold for that, she's sold by her father to make some income for the family, he cannot sell her and then sell her again. So that's one of the things that Amar Ria has over the Eved Ivri. Now, related discussion to this regarding selling the Eved Ivri and selling him again. So Tanur Ban Lunna Braisa. Ginevai Elef, let's say he stole something worth 1,000. V'shavu Chamesh Meis, but him, the Eved Ivri himself, if he would sell him for 6 years, which the max that the courts could sell him for, would only be worth 500. Nimker v'chayzim v'nimker, so says the Tanakama, he sold, and he's resold again. Now, let's say Gnevi Chamesh Meis b'shava Elef. Let's say the theft was only for 500, and his value, which is when the court sold him for 6 years, would be for 1,000. Said the Tanakama, then ain't a Nimker Klal, then he's not sold at all. Now, Rabbi Yezrim, he disputes the Tanakama, and he says, Imhoye Gnevi Keneged Memkare. It's only if his theft equals exactly the amount that would be for the sale of his value for 6 years, not more, not less, then he sold. Vimlav ain't a nimker. But if not, if let's say he's worth more than the theft, or the theft is more than he's worth, then he's not sold. Now, Amar Rav, he says, Baha zakinu Reb Elazar Rabbanan. If this machlokes, Reb Eliezer wins over in this argument over the opinion of the Rabbanan, because it makes more sense like Reb Elazar. Because the Maishna, what should be there any difference? Geneva Chamesh Meis, when he steals something worth 500, Bishav Elef, and he's worth 1,000. Would the Rabbanan agree? The Ein Nimker, the Tanakhama says he's not sold. Why? Why would they agree over there? Why do they agree? Because the Nimker Kule Amrachman of Lechetzi, because the Torah tells you that he's Venimka Begnevasa, he's sold for his theft, which tells you the entirety of him is sold, not half of him. So, in other words, in such a case where his value of work for 6 years would be double the amount that he stole, it's only for the whole thing. And he's not going to work half the amount. And since it can't be the whole 6 years, we don't sell him. So Hachinami, so says Rava, that seemingly Reb Elazar is correct. Over the Tanakama, Nimka Bignei Vasem Rahman. The Torah says, just like Nimker is, the whole him is sold. So too for the next word of Nimka Bignei Vasa, the Torah says that you sell him for his theft. He's not sold for half his theft. So therefore, if he stole 1,000, he's worth only 500, you're also not going to sell him because it's not being sold for the whole theft. It's only for the half of the theft. And again, like we said before, he's only sold for, he cannot be sold and sold again. And therefore, since it's not for that same amount, it's actually not sold at all because it has to be, according to Rabba, who's saying like Reb Elazar, either it has to be exactly that how much he stole is actually how much he's worth. And because it can only be sold at one time, and he can't be sold for half, or if he's worth more, he can't be. It has to be v'nimker, the whole him, and v'gnevasli, for the whole theft. Now, returning to that brice that we said, another thing that the Amar Bri has over the Eved Ivri is umaftin oisa bal karche, that we could forcefully redeem her against his will. So, says the Gemara, Sava Rava Lameim, Rava thought to say, who against whose will are we forcefully redeeming the Amar Bri versus the Eved Ivri? Bal karche de adon. It's against it's forcing the master that owns her. We could forcefully have her redeemed from his domain. Now, on that, Omli Abaye asks, "My niu, what is this case conceptualization when we're saying that we're going to force only in the case of Amar Bri more than the Eved Ivri? In other words, if you're going to say that it's talking about where if they're paying their way out, then that of course would that's a halacha that applies by Amar Bri and Eved Ivri. So it can't be talking about that case." And so if you're going to entertain to say that what is the case that we only force with Amar Bri and not by the Eved Ivri, which is when they don't have money to pay out. They're not doing this giro in kesef. Rather, the chesavna leishtara adame, all they do is they write a document, an IOU, regarding the value of the Amar Bri, how much she's worth, and they give it to the master, saying that when they attain the money, then they'll pay it up. And that's the difficulty is, amai, why? From where would we know this? Why would we say that that would apply by the Amar Riyah, that we could forcefully make him take this note of indebtedness? But Nakid Marganisa Biyada, he's holding on to a pearl in his hand, meaning he owns the body of this Jewish young girl, this maidservant. And Yahivna Lechaspa, we give him like a shard, we give him a piece of pottery that says, I owe you. How does that help? Why could we force the Adin more by Amar Riyah than by Eved Ivri when we're not even paying our way out? Elam Abai, rather Abai says, not like the way Rava had thought, rather Balkarchi De'av, it's actually referring to against the will of the father. Meaning if the father who had sold his daughter as Amar Riyah has money now, then we force him to redeem his daughter out of slavery. And that's Mishum Begam Mishpacha. That's because of the deficiency, the embarrassment for the family that they have a sibling, a daughter that sold into slavery. So we force him to redeem her. Now, Ihachi, so the Gemara asks, if that's the interpretation of Balkarche, then Eved Ivri Nami. Then why don't we say the same thing by the male Jewish servant? Nachfinu lebnei mishpacha mishum begam mishpacha. We should force the family members, the relatives, to say, look at this, a Jewish man that's as a slave. We got to force the family to redeem because of begam mishpacha. Why is it halacha that only applies to Am Evriya? So on that the Gemara says, no, because hadar azal mazman afshe. Because every time he's going to get into trouble, he's going to sell himself as a slave to get money. The family members are going to have to redeem him. He's going to go ahead and sell himself again. He'll get money for that being sold as a slave. He'll waste it. And then the family's going to have to redeem him. So therefore, it's not something we can impose upon the family. So the Gemara asks, hachanami hadar azal mazman la. So then why don't we say the same thing regarding the father? Where, yes, if we force him to redeem her, but then a few weeks later, he's going to again just sell his daughter off as a slave. So we're going to run into the same problems again. So why by the father with the Amar Riyah do we force him to redeem, whereas by the Eved Ivri with the family members, we don't force them to redeem? So that the Gemara says, no hakatani, but we learned, eina nimkeres v'nishnas. We said, and that's related to the other halacha that we said in that brisa, which is unique to Amar Riyah and not to Eved Ivri, that she cannot be sold and resold again. So therefore, we do gain by having the father redeemed because of begam mishpacha, because he cannot go back and sell her again. I mean, by the guy himself, he could resell himself again and again, so therefore we don't impose upon the family members to have to redeem him. But by the Amar Riyah, the begam mishpacha could be fulfilled because once he redeems her, he cannot resell her again. Which Shigmar explains, Umani, who's the town of this brisa, which is related to these two halachas, that he cannot sell her and then resell her again? Says the Gemara Reb Shimon, it's Reb Shimon, the town like learn the brisa. The first opinion says, Meicher Adam es bitoy le'ishes feshayna. A man could sell his daughter for marriage, meaning he gets money when he marries off his daughter to a man, and he could do it again. In other words, he could receive kedushin for her. And if she gets widowed or divorced when it's still an erisin, not an nisuin, he can go back and engage her again to another man. And the kest of kedushin goes to him if she didn't yet become a bagera, she didn't reach 12 and a half yet. Moreover, is l'shvaches feshayna. He could sell her as a slave, as Amar Riyah, and then do it again. So if let's say he sells her, and she goes out by 6 years, or by Yovel, or if the master died, and she's still a minor, he can go ahead and sell her again. Now, obviously, as Rashi points out, if the way she had left the first master was by bringing Simon that she's a Naira, then obviously he can't resell her again. Because even if he had never sold her in the first place, and she brings Simon him, he can't sell her, as the Gemara says in the Braisa Mesechtes Erechin of Chavtes Mabez. You would think you could sell a daughter when she's still a Naira, if she's not a Begeris yet. On that, the Gemara says over there what I mean. If she was already sold, she leaves the master's domain when she becomes a Naira, she brings him on him, so now when she wasn't even sold yet, of course you can't sell her, because even when she's sold, she leaves. So obviously we're talking about that when this Tana holds that you can sell her as a slave woman and sell her again, is obviously if she left the first time, not by yet being a Naira, she's still a minor. And moreover, le'ishas achar shifches. If let's say he sold her, he could sell her, meaning by receiving kedushin for her from a man, after he had already sold her as a maidservant, and then she left, let's say through 6 years or yovel, and then she came back home, he could now sell her for ishes after shifchas. Aval, but says the Tanakhama, one thing he cannot do is leil shifchas achar ishes. He cannot sell her as a maidservant after, let's say, he had already received kedushin money from her. And then she came back to him, let's say she got widowed, he can't go back and then sell her as a maidservant, which the Gemara later on will bring the source for this. That's the opinion of Tana Kama. But Reb Shimon Neiman, he's the Tana of the Brais that we mentioned before, he holds, Keshem she'in odam meichres bitei l'shivchas achar ishes. Just like you, the Tana Kama agrees that a man cannot sell his daughter for marriage after he had already, for as a maidservant, after he had already sold her for ishes, Kach ein odem meicher es bita l'shivchus achar shivchus. So too, he cannot sell her as a maidservant after having been a maidservant, which again was exactly the Tana that Baisa said before. That's why there's the viability of because of Pekam Mishpacha, to have force him to have to redeem her if he has money, because once he sold her, he cannot sell her. Again, that's the opinion of Reb Shimon. Now says the Gemara, Ubeplukta da'ani tanoi de Tanya. This machlokes between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon in this Baisa that we just quoted, they have the same machlokes regarding how to interpret the following pasuk, which is disagreed upon by Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Like we learned in the Braisa, the pasuk in Shemai says, and this is in Perek Chaval of Pasuk Ches, it says, La'am nachri la'yim shalamachra, to a foreign people, he should not rule over her to sell her, bivigdaiva, once he already had done bigida in her. So we could hear in Tamid Beis, where the first opinion interprets, what does that mean? Kivin shib peiris talisi olaha, once he had already put his cloak over her, which is from the term of beged, which that's because he had done bibigdeva. So shuv eini rishol lamachra. So therefore he can't go ahead and sell her anymore. That's the Rebbe Akiva, that's the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. So the way he interprets the pasuk is, when it says that la'am nachri lo yimshol lamachra levah, who's la'am nachri? What does it mean to have foreign people? It means to sell her as a maidservant. That lo yimshol, who cannot rule over her? The father cannot rule over her to sell her anymore, because once there was already bivigdeva. What's bivigdeva? Once her adon, her master that he already originally sold her to, had already done yud. Yud is kedushin that's allowed through the master as for the halachas of transferring the kesef of kinyan to the kesef of kedushin. If that master now divorces her with a get and she goes back to her father, then the halacha is, since it already had a halacha of beged, so then he cannot go ahead to father and sell her anymore. Now, but let's say the master had not done yud, and she just left, let's say, after 6 years, and she comes back to her father, then the father could go back and sell her again, which is like the opinion of the Tanakama of the Rabbanon, who said that only for Shivchas Achar Ishus you can't do. Like over here, once there was Yud, so that already created Ishus, which again, that's how Rabbi Kiva interprets this pasuk of Bevigdeva from the term of Beged, when he takes his garment with his talis, which is a terminology of intimacy. Then, once there was Ishus between them, then he can't sell her anymore as a Shivcha. But Shivchas Achar Shivchas, then he can go ahead and still sell her, which is like the opinion of the Tanakama, that's the Rebbe Kiva, that's like the opinion of Rebbe Kiva. But Rebbe Lazar, he says, no, Bevigdaiva, he interprets the words that when he did Begida in her, Kivan Shabogadba, once he did an act of treason, which is that he sold her as a maidservant, a daughter, he's selling her as a slave. That's what the pasuk says, Shuv Eini Rishol Lamachra. Now he can't sell her anymore, La'am Nachri, which means to be a Shivcha. So therefore, Rebbe Loz is learning that you cannot do Shivchas Achar Shivchas. But Shivchas Achar Ishus, meaning obviously not an Ishus of Yud, because he already did a Shivchas that way, but rather if let's say he went and sold her for Kedushin purposes, and then she became a widow from Erison and comes back home, then he could do Shivchas Achar Ishus. That's the opinion of Rebbe Loz. Now Rebbe Shimon expounds like both of them. He learns like Rebbe Lazar that once the father did begida in her, which is an act of treason, meaning he sold her as a shivcha, so then he can't sell her anymore. That's what the pasuk says, that shuv lo yochel lamachra. He can't sell her anymore as a maidservant. And he also expounds the pasuk like Rebbe Akiva, that since there was already a beged, as we'll soon see the interpretation, as a garment, meaning then once there was already piris talisei lahu, once he had sold her for ishes, that also lo yochel lamachra, he can't sell her anymore, meaning for a shivcha. That's why Reb Shimon said, you can't do Shivchas Achar Ishus, and you can't do Shivchas Achar Shivchas, because he learns like both Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Elazar. Whereas again, the Tanakhama only learned like Rebbe Akiva. So the Gemara explains the Maka Miflagi. What is this Machlokes Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Elazar, which will then help us understand where, again, the Tanakhama is like Rebbe Akiva, and that Reb Shimon actually combines Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Elazar's opinions. So the Gemara explains, Rebbe Elazar Sava, yesh aim lemisiris. He holds that there's primacy in the interpretation of psukim regarding the tradition of how the Sefer Torah is written. Now, if you look at the word bevigdeva, it's written veiz veiz gimel dalad vav. Now, if the way it's written, it would be read bevagdeva in his act of treason, which is begida. Not bevigdoy the way it's read, which sounds like a terminology of garment. Bigdoy is his garment, and the reason being is because the pronunciation of a chirik without a yud would be it would require either a yud or a chirik. Now, the nakuda that's under the vase when you put a chirik, takes the place of a yud. That's how you read it. But the way it's written, it should have been read with what's called, Rashi calls it a chatav kamat, which we call a pasach, which is bevagdoiva, which is the terminology of begida, which is a term of rebelliousness, meaning something that's an act of treason. That's actually, that's a reference to selling her as a maidservant. So that's where Blaza interprets it as a reference to act selling her as a shifcha. But Rebbe Akiva Savayesh im lemikra, he gives primacy to the way it's read, not the way it's written. So since we read it bevigda, even though there's no yud over there, but as if there was a chirik, so like you have another pasuk, it says bevigda in Bereish Lamates, so he reads it as regards to a garment, which is a reference to Piris Talisa, which regards to intimacy as ishas. Once there was ishas, then you can't have shivchas lamachra after ishas. But Rebbe Shimon Savayesh im lemikra ulemesiris, he gives primacy to both, the way it's written and the way it's read. And therefore, you need to have both halachas. You can't sell her as a shifcha after either one, after selling her for ishas or after having sold her for being a shifcha. Again, he was the opinion that we said from the previous brisa, which is you can't do shifchas achar shifchas. Now, Rashi just asks that, but we know Reb Shimon's opinion, Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin, regarding the interpretation of how many walls there are in a sukkah, when it says basukis, 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 which some of them are written without a vav and some with a vav, Reb Shimon says, yesh im lemikra. We give primacy for how it's read, which is in the plural, although it's written in the singular. So how do we say over here that he holds a both? So Rashi says, over there, you can't say both mikra and masiris, because if you have one, you don't have the other. In other words, if you say three walls are kosher, then you can't expound the way it's read, which is telling you more walls are kosher. And if you can say it's possible, you can't expound Messiris. But here, where you could have both, which as we see, that, yeah, it's saying you can't sell her after either one, then he expounds both the Messiris and the Mikra. Now the Gemara continues with a topic that will relate back to the previously quoted Braisa. The Gemara asks as follows. Rabbi Baravur asked, Yiyud, this procedure of Yud, where a master tells his Jewish maidservant, you are Yud to me, you are designated for me, with this money that I had purchased you for, I want to use it now for kedushin purposes to get engaged to you. So the question is, nisuin oisa? Does that make a level of nisuin, where there's always two phases in a regular marriage? When the man gets married to a woman, there's kedushin, which we do with the ring, and then there's nisuin, which we do either with the chuppah or the yichidrum. And those are the two phases. So the question is, with yiud, when we're saying that it works for a man to get married, to consummate a relationship with his maidservant, he does not have to give her, again, kesef kedushin. He could just transfer over that money that he used to purchase her and make it for the marriages. So what is it? Does that already make nisuin? Does it go all the way and that's it, he's already married to her? Or does it only cover and transfer the money part, which is the kesef kedushin part, that you could take the kesef of the mikna from purchasing as amavriya? But you would still have to do nisuin. Which one does it do? As the Gemara says, because nafkamina, the halachic relevance is liyarsha, what's the status of her inheriting her after he did yud, or litamala, or to bimitamata, or lahofa nidereo, to nullify her vows, where those are things that do not apply to an arusa, but apply to a nesua. So once yud is essentially just saying words, it's saying, I am saying that those monies should now be transferred over for yud purposes. So when he says that, before obviously he consummates the relation, once he does that, of course she's going to be totally his wife. Question is, when he does just that, did that only create Arison, and therefore does not have these three things? Or did it already create Nisuin, and she's totally his wife, and therefore he has the rights in these three things already? My, what's Allah? So the Gemara says, Toshma. That's being a raya from the previously quoted Braisa, specifically from the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva said, it says in the Pasuk, Bevigdaiva, with his act of Begetar. So, according to the interpretation of Rebbe Akiva, what it meant was, is Kivin Shapiris Talisi Olaha, once her master already took his cloak and passed it over her, in other words, to say that regarding that they had already had ishus between them, there was intimacy, so Shuv Eini Rishor Lamachra, that was the opinion of Rebbe Akiva, so now the father can't go ahead and sell her anymore, which was where he learned out this halacha of, that there's Ein Shifchas Achar Ishus. So, now, on that the Gemara says, Zevunihu Delay Mazvanla. What we learn now from this halacha is that the father can't sell her anymore. But the father could do yid, meaning not literally yid, but he could go ahead and sell her for kedushin purposes. He just can't sell her for shivchas purposes. But even though he had already had Piris Talisa Lao, her master already did yid with her, still, if let's say she gets released from her master, the father would still be able to go out and engage her to someone else. Now says the Gemara, V'i amrit nisuin, if you were entertained to say that Yud creates nisuin, and that's what we're saying, that even though the master did priest's talis, so that's ishus, so the father can't do shifchas achar ishus, but he would be able to do ishus achar ishus. But the problem is, kivin the nisus, if he would entertain to say that Yud is nisuin, shuv ein lavi rishus bas, the father doesn't have any more rights over her once that she already had nisuin. And that's a general halacha, as we find in regards to the context of Nedarim, where the pasuk already removes the girl, the daughter, from her father's domain once she gets married to someone else, because it says Nedar Amana Ugrusha, where it says that those rights were only for the husband. So to regarding inheritance, it says V'yarash Aisa, where we learn out that the husband inherits his wife, not the father. So once there's Nisuin, she's removed from his domain and she never comes back. So obviously, you can't say that Yud makes Nisuin, because if that's the case, the inference of Rabbi Akiva is saying that even though there was Yud, he can't sell her, but he could do Kedushin, but that's not true. The father has no rights after Nisuin, and Yud already creates Nisuin. Elalav, Shema Minah, Eris and Isis. So the Gemara says, obviously, that Yud only creates Erisin, not Nisuin. So even though there was already Yud, which only creates Erisin, so okay, that's enough of an Ishus to say that he can't sell her as a Shifcha anymore. You can't have Shifchas Achar Ishus. But Erisin doesn't remove her from the father's domain totally, and therefore if let's say she gets divorced from Erisin or he dies, he can go ahead and resell her for another Kedushin to another man. So Amrav Nachum B'Yitzchak, he says, no riot. Hacha over here in Rabbi Kiva's statement, where we learned that if someone already was Piris Talisa on this girl, then the father can't sell her anymore. Says Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, that's not a reference to Yiyud of the Adoin, who he was pierced his talisa on his alma avriya and took her in Yiyud. Rather, b'kiddushin. We're talking about just the regular kiddushin of a minor, the alma koi, in general, who was not sold. V'hachay kaman, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, this is what Rabbi Kiva was saying, which therefore is not going to be a riot regarding Yiyud, because we're not discussing Yiyud. Kivan shemisara avriya. Once our father gave her over to a man that's responsible for all the halachas of any time when a woman becomes mukaddish to a man to provide for her clothing and for her aina, which is marital intimacy, and for her food. In other words, he did regular marriage to another man, shuv en yochel amacha. Then is what we're saying, that you can't sell her as a shifcha because in shifchas achar ishas. But it wasn't a reference to the Adon creating Kedushin, which is what Yud. And then we're proving that obviously it's only Eris and not Nisuin, because if it was Nisuin, then they wouldn't be able to even marry her off to anyone else, because Nisuin removes her totally from his domain. It's not talking about Yud, it's talking about regular Kedushin. We're saying that, Rabbi Kiva says, and he learns that off in the Pasuk, that it used the terminology of Bebig Deva, which is the terminology of a Beged, meaning another man already took this woman for intimacy purposes, meaning for marriage. Once he did it for Ishus, he can't do Shifchas Achar Ishus, but you could do Ishus Achar Ishus. And therefore, there's no Raya regarding the Halach of Yud, because it's not discussing it, it's too much just the Kiddushin that he did for another man. Yet Nisuin, in any case, would remove her from his domain, but he only did Kiddushin, and then he could do another Kiddushin to another man. So the Gemara says, Tashem, that's being arrived from a different Braisa. The Braisa brings the following Machloikis. Tanakama says, Ein Meichra, a father cannot sell his daughter as a Jewish maidservant, Likraivim, to relatives, which that they would be forbidden to do Yid with her, because they're considered Arayis. And the problem is that the Pasuk requires Ashaloya Oda, which is that there has to be the option of them, of the master doing Yid, which they can't do because she's an Erva, that they're relatives. Says the Tanakama, therefore he can't sell her to relatives. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Amr, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, they said, however, that Meichra Likraivim, that she could be sold to relatives, and you don't need to have the feasibility of a Yid. The only thing the Pasuk is saying is that where there is the ability, then the Torah says to go ahead and do it, but it doesn't have to be that you could do it, and therefore he says you could sell it to relatives. Now, says the Braisa of Eshavin, and both opinions agree, Shemachra Amana L'Kohen Gadol, that a father could sell a daughter that's a widow to a Kohen Gadol, and the reason being is because that's not an Erva, that Kedushin is not Typhus. Yud could be done, albeit be'isser, because Kedushin is Typhus and Chiyuv Alavin, if there's just a negative prohibition, as the Gemara teaches us later on in the third paragraph of Samaches Amud Aleph. So Amon L'Kohen Gadol is not an Erva per se in that way, it's just a negative prohibition. So since Yud could happen, so it does fit into the categorical halacha, therefore everyone would agree that he could tell his daughter that's a widow to a Kohen Gadol, although there's an Isser, if meaning for the Kohen Gadol to go ahead and do Yud with her. And Grusha B'chalutza Kohen had the same thing. If she's a divorcee or a woman that had chalitza dantar, she could be sold as a maidservant to a Kohen Hedjid, because ultimately yud could be done, albeit b'yisr. Now, on this brisa, the Gemara proves the point and says, Hay almana heichadami. What is this halacha case that we said everyone agrees that you could sell a widow, a father could sell his daughter, a widow, a minor, because that's the only rights he has as a maidservant is before she's a naira, as a widow to a Kohen Gadol as a maidservant, because it's possible, even though it's be'isr, to do yud. Hey, Chedomi, what's the case? So the Gemara explains. Elim in the Kaddish Navsha, if it's Toma, when she engaged herself previously, not through her father, to a man, and she got widowed from that man, so and that's the case where she's a widow, and her father is now selling her to as a maidservant to the Kohen Gadol. Problem with that is, Amana Karla, would that call her a designated term of a widow? That's not true. When a minor gets married to a man, it has no halachic validity whatsoever. She can't go ahead and marry another person. She might have had bia, she might have been acting like a wife, but she's not a wife. A girl engaging herself and marrying herself off, it has no halachic validity. And she wouldn't be called halacha as a widow. The elisa rather must be tumat the kitchavia, that her father had already engaged her previously to a man, and then she was widowed from that man. And that's the case that we're describing, where everyone agrees that he could sell her to a Kohen Gadol. And that the question is, mi matzi mazvala? Could he really go ahead and sell her? But we said before, v'ein odom meicher is bita l'shivchas achar ish, as we quoted Bekiva's opinion. And as the Gemara will conclude, we prefer Bekiva's opinion because Rebbe Elazar is a shamuti, which means to say that because he was like Bishamai, we don't paskin like him, so we prefer to go with Bekiva. So the problem is, how do we understand this brisa? We said that you can't sell a daughter as a maidservant after you already had sold her as a wife to a man. And here clearly the almana, she only became an almana because the father had sold her, meaning he had given her over for kedushin. So how can you say that now he's allowed to sell her, according to everybody, to a Kohen Gadol, when you can't sell her as a maidservant after Ishas? Now, so, as the Gemara continues, and so Amar of Amar Yitzchak, he explained, he said, oh, hacha bekedusha yiyud. What we're describing over here in this price is where she had been sold originally as a maidservant. Now, that master had done kedusha yiyud with her, which is that he transferred that sale money into kedushin money. Then she was widowed from that master who had done kedusha yiyud with her. Now, where the father wants to go ahead and sell her, it's not considered shivchas achar ishes. Why? Because v'alibud Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, this brayse is going like Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, the amma that he says, as we quote this on the next daf, that mois harishaynos, the original monies of the sale of this girl as a maidservant, lav l'kedushin nitnu, they weren't given for the purpose and for the qualification as kedushin money. So in other words, when he ultimately does yield with that money, he's actually doing it within the context of the servitude of this maidservant. He can go ahead and transfer that and turn that into kedushin, which is what's called yud. But those kedushins that the master did with this girl was not through the father. It's just exerts a kusiv that the master could transfer those monies and turn that into kedushin. So that's why the father could go ahead and sell her, even though she already had kedushin once before, and that's how she's a widow, because the yud was not done. It's not considered shivchas achar ishus. Shivchas achar ishus is only a problem because he had done begida with her. Specifically, what type of begida, as Rabbi Kiva said, with a beged, meaning he had already sold her given her over for marriage. Then he can't go ahead and be meicher her as a shivcha. But that's something unique to the father. If he had made her into a married woman, now. Generally, that's it is. Who could do it? The girl can't do it. As the Gemara explained, no, there's a possibility for someone else to create kedushin for a minor. Who's that? That's the master, because he has the ability, that's the Torah says, our custom, that he could transfer the kedushay, the kesef of the kinyan into kesef of kedushin, and he's creating the ishus, not the father, so that doesn't go into the framework of the pasuk forbidding the father of doing shivchas achar ishus. So that's what our explanation of that brisa was. Now concludes the Gemara, V'i'amr nisuin oisa. Now again, the only interpretation we really had for this brisa was that it must be talking about a case of Kedusha Yud. Now the problem is, if that Yud creates nisuin, So Kivin Shenisis, once a woman gets married, meaning the second phase of marriage, in all circumstances, whatever the circumstances were, Shulein Levi Rishuspa, the father doesn't have any rights anymore. It's like when she becomes a begeris, she's an adult, she leaves her father's domain, never coming back. So to Nisuin, no matter how it happens, she's married, she's totally removed from her father's domain, she's never coming back. So how does that explain the halacha of, oh, how can you have a father selling a daughter almana to a kohen gadol? Isn't that shivchas achar ishus? So he said, no, it's not shivchas achar ishus, because it's the master, the adoin, that had transferred that into ishus. That's not considered the problem of the father having done the begida of done ishus and done shivchas. He did shivchas achar shivchas, which that's okay. Now, problem is that, so how you explain the case? It was through yird. But if yird does nisuin, well, then, anyway, she's out of her father's domain. So even if she gets widowed now after this yud, it's like after Nisuin, when you get widowed from Nisuin, you don't go back to the father's domain. How is the father selling his daughter, an almana, through yud to the Kohen Gadol? So obviously, that it makes Erisin. But the Gemara responds, Ve'elamai. So what are you saying? Erisin Aiso. You want to prove that yud creates Erisin. The problem is, the Braisa said, V'shavin Shamaycha. Both opinions mentioned in the Braisa agree that the father could sell his daughter Namana to a Kohen Gadol. Now that's difficult. A father cannot sell his daughter for a shivcha, even if you're saying that, okay, fine, the yud is not nisuin, it's kedushin. The problem is, after erisin even, a father, because that's considered in the begida, which is even for kedushin, the father can't sell his daughter for kedush, for shivchas achar ishus. Now, so the Gemara continues. So obviously, what are you going to say? Shani erisin dida, erisin davia. Oh, that's very different because it's only problematic when the father creates the kedushin. He did the begida, so that's when he can't do after even kedushin. He can't go ahead and sell it as a shivcha. But here, it wasn't him that did the kedushin. It was her together with the adin that they did the kedushin. Look, you did the ishus. I only did shivchas. Shivchas achas shivchas I could do. Shivchas achas ishus even of erisin I can do, but I didn't do that. So says the Gemara, then Afilatim and Nisuin, so then I disproved your raya. Your proof is not a proof, because even if you will create Nisuin, I could also say, Shani Nisuin Didam and Nisuin Daviyah, that her, when she does Nisuin, is different when the father does Nisuin. Meaning, oh, usually he can't do Shivchas Achar Ishus, but that's only when he does the Ishus, which is even by Erisin. So you're obviously differentiating when he does it versus when she does it. So then say the same thing regarding Nisuin too. Even if Yud's doing Nisuin, but it won't remove her from his domain because only Nisuin that he does removes her from her domain. But when she does it, maybe it doesn't. So Tigma responds, no. Hi, Mai. What are you talking about? Bishlem Erisin, Me Erisin, Shani. It very well makes sense that the differentiation that we're making, which we're concluding that Yud makes Erisin, to differentiate and to say that the Torah was particular only regarding the father. As the pasuk that we said, bevigdeva, he can't sell her as a maidservant once he had already sold her for kedushin purposes. Now, since these kedushin we explained, he didn't do, because it's the adin that's transferring that kedushin, that kesef of kinyan into kesef of kedushin. So therefore, he still has the rights, even after she had yud, which was kedushin, for the father to still sell her. But el nisuin min nisuin, as the Gemara contains the top of your testament, alf, mishani, can we differentiate? Since Nisuin is a biblical halacha that automatically removes her from his domain. So obviously the Gemara concludes, must be that, because that's automatic, Nisuin is like Bagris, it's just she's totally removed from his domain. She has no connection with him anymore. Kedushin is still a connection, where in certain halachas, even Kedushin, she's not totally removed yet. So therefore, it's obvious that Yud creates Erisin and not Nisuin. It's like the Kedushin Kesef, so this is that Kesef, but that's only Kedushin, not Nisuin. Now the Gemara asks, "Well, Rav Nachma Yitzchak Da'ama," but however, it's still difficult because according to Rav Nachma Yitzchak, that he says later on this daf, "Afilu Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda," that even according to Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, who the whole interpretation of this brisa was based on his opinion that, as the Gemara had assumed to say, that the original monies were not for kedushin, rather they were meant only for a sale, and that's why we said that it's not the father who did the ishus. But according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that he says that even according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, Moisir Rishayin is the Kedushin Nitnu. It's not true. The original monies were given. In other words, intrinsic in those money, the sale money, was also marriage money, meaning the father was Makadishar, and that's how the Adon is able to transfer that monies into Kedusha Kesev. So then, my Mukim law. Then we're back to the question, how are we going to resolve this Braisa? Because even if you say that Yud, okay, you concluded Yud's going to make only Erison, but it's still a problem. How is he going to be able to then subsequently sell her? But the problem is, according to that interpretation, he made that Kedushin, not the Adin. So if he made it, you can't do Shivchas Achar Ishus, even the Ishus of Erison. So even if it's Yud, what are you going to do? So the Gemara explains, Mukim lo k'Reb Eliezer. Rav Nachman Yitzchok will explain that the Brice is like Reb Eliezer. The Amal le Shivchas Achar Shivchas hu delei matzim azmala. He says that the only case you can't do is you can't do Shivchas Achar Shivchas. Avle Shivchas Achar Ishus Motzi Mazmala. He holds that you could do a Shivchas Achar Ishus. And the reason being is because he expounds not of a Lashon of Beged that we've been expounding up until now, which is Piris Talisei Lau, which is once he did Ishus, he can't do Shivchas. He learns it as Bogad Ba. So therefore, that's only the problem about doing Shivchas Achar Shivchas, but actually Shivchas Achar Ishus is not a problem. So very good. So that's why the Braisa makes sense, where he could sell his daughter Amona to the Kohen Gadol, because, yeah, she's an Amona. He married her off. And since she only had Kedushin, because you explained the Yud is only Kedushin, that's not a problem. When she gets widowed from Kedushin, he could go ahead and do Shivchas, sell to a Kohen Gadol as a Shivcha, Achar Ishus. Which again, as Rashi explains, but up until now, the Gemara did not want to explain and resolve this brisa like Reb Eliezer again, as we said, because he's a Shamuti, which is brought other places in Shas, where we don't want to paskin and say that the halacha is being said like Reb Eliezer, and that's why we're trying to resolve it like Reb Akiva. But again, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he's going to have to say that it's going like Reb Eliezer, and again, according to him, you could resolve that opinion of how we're going to have a case of Amana being sold to a Kohen Gadol as a Shivcha, even though she's a minor, and even though obviously, even in that Yud, you have to say that even that money was Kedusha Kesef, where it's coming after Ishus, it's okay because Reb Eliezer holds you could do Shivchas Achar Ishus. Again, unlike the way we resolved it, not like Reb Nachman Yitzchok, where originally we were going like Reb Akiva, who holds that Shivchas Achar Ishus is a problem, where he holds actually Shivchas Achar Shivchas is not a problem. So we explained that it's going to be an Amana, even though it's not the father's Ishus, because it was actually the Adin who transfers it into Kedushin. And since it's Shivchas Achar Shivchas, that's why, according to Reb Akiva, you can sell a daughter, an Amana, to a Kohen Gadol.